starting at verse 1, it says, the sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, Carmi, and so forth. And then over at verse 8, and Kaz, Begat, Anab, and Zobiba, and the families of Aharhel, and so forth, and so on, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it be not to my sorrow. And God granted him that which he requested. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. We are so thankful, our Father, that our lives are built around a person and a book. We confess, our Father, that as you have told us, that you have exalted your word above all your name, that we have taken this book, written by men, sinners saved by the grace of God, and yet every jot and tittle inspired and to be fulfilled ultimately. We are thankful that we receive it this way, and that is why we say our lives are built around this book and around thy Son and empowered by thy Spirit that was made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we rejoice that we have a new mind that we're exhorted to think with. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are thankful that that is the mind that we want. And we are thankful that now, to all the problems of life, we want this. What saith the Scripture? And so we've read from it tonight. We thank you for the portions in the Old as well as the New. We thank thee for the great epic stories that it brings before us. We thank thee for the brief notices of forgotten men and women. For them all, our Father, we give thee thanks. And this night we desire to learn from Jabez and what thou dost tell us about him. And so, prepare our hearts. We have passed on the roads and seen the fields that have been plowed, prepared to receive seed and all things that are planted. And so by thy Spirit, prepare our hearts, and we trust that only the good word of God shall be sown there, and it shall bring forth fruit, and cleanse us from sin, and empower by thy Spirit, that we may speak as the oracles of God. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I'm thinking that if you were trying to read through the Bible, and you came to some of these portions in Chronicles, you would not dwell long on 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And yet if you try to pronounce those names correctly, you would dwell long on 1 Chronicles chapter 4. But the mistake that we would make in reading through it so quickly is that we would miss out on significant verses and names that we would miss out on if we rapidly read through this book and said, well, let me come to something that contains a story. I like to read about David and Solomon and Asa and Hezekiah. I like to read about those men. Well, God has other things to tell us about less important men, those that were not so great and those that lived not so long, and yet God has something to tell us about them. And if you pass quickly over them, in reality, you're passing quickly over what God would probably write about you, because I don't know any of us here who are like David or Solomon or Saul of Tarsus. We are little people spiritually. But for some of us, and only for some, would God jot down our names and then maybe say, I'll give one verse of scripture to this man. I will give two verses of scripture to this woman. And so that's why we shouldn't pass over them quickly, just like this. Have you ever heard a woman's name, Hazel Elpony? Well, that's a woman's name, and I could give you all sorts of prizes if you could tell me what it meant. If someone was named Hazel Elpony, what would it mean? Well, there was a woman. You don't often in genealogies get women's names, but this was a woman, a man's sister, and it means that she was a woman who liked to face the shade. She didn't like for the sunshine to be in her eyes, and so for some reason they called her the woman who liked to face the shade, facing the shade. And they're fascinating things as you go through portions like this, little nuggets that God has placed there, and you find them if you look carefully for them. But you'll have to do a little work, like you have to look up and find the meaning of that name, Hazel Elpony. And I'm sure that nowadays we would call her Hazel and not give the whole name. But there is significance to these names. That is one thing I want you to know. And again, in these genealogies, I read you the first verse in chapter 4 because it says the sons of Judah. But starting back in two chapters earlier, it says these are the sons of Israel. And then it says, now these are the sons of David. And it gets to the tribe of Judah. And so what he does is to tell us the prominent heads of the families, and then it tells us about their sons, like Jacob had 12 sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, and so forth. And the one that we are studying tonight is the son, Judah, and all of his descendants. And what the author of Chronicles has done is to give us quite a bit of information about some, and as I'm able to tell you, all of Jacob's 12 sons, and you come to Judah, and then I can tell you some of Judah's sons. But having given us those detailed accounts, there are fragments left over, and the author of Chronicles jots down these fragments that he found, and they form a part of God's Word as well. The mistake we make in thinking that since God's Word is inspired, every jot and tittle having significance, we're liable to think that when a man sat down to write a book of the Bible, that he had to do no thinking, he had to do no research. All he did was just sit down and take up a pen, and the Spirit of God wrote out the things for him. But Luke tells us that this is not the way things were done. And Daniel tells us this is not the way things were done. Daniel said, I was reading in the prophecy of Jeremiah. And so Daniel learned things from Jeremiah. And Luke says that he had traced the course of all things accurately from the first. And so he had to go and do research. And after all of his efforts, he would gather his materials together. And then the sorting of these materials, the arrangement, and the way that the bulk of it was written down, it is all inspired by the Spirit of God. But Luke did not receive a revelation from God telling him everything that took place. And for that reason, God at times says, you didn't find out about this, I'm not going to tell you. And so Luke doesn't put it in. But John knew about it, and John will write it down. Or Mark knew about it, or Matthew knew about it. And it may be that they knew of some things that they did not write about, because John tells us in his gospel that if all things the Lord Jesus did were written, why, the world itself could not contain the books. And so God has given us not an exhaustive account of things, but he has given us a selective account of things. And so when the critics come and say, don't you see the fragmentary nature of what you're reading and you say that it's inspired? Yes, because God takes some of the letters that even the Apostle Paul wrote, and he permits them to be lost. You can read about it in Corinthians. He speaks about a letter that was lost. I would give most anything to have that letter that Paul wrote. But God said, we'll let it be lost. But what has been preserved, God says, use this. And so he leaves many questions. And the only time we'll know the complete story is when we get to heaven. We'll know fully. And the Bible says, then shall we fully know, even as also we were fully known. And then we can find out and we can trace exactly from Adam down to ourselves, our ancestry. See how it branched out from Adam? Do you remember Adam had Cain and Abel? But Cain killed Abel, and so God gave Eve another son named Seth, and then mankind branches out from Genesis. But the time is going to come when it branches out and gets large, and then it gets smaller and smaller and smaller until it comes down to you, and then we can trace it back. And so in what is being recovered, we have 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And inasmuch as he tells us about Judah and his descendants, and he gives us a lot of details, and then he comes again and says, the sons of Judah, here is a little something that God enabled me to find, and he doesn't want me to leave it out. I'm putting it down. And then, if you happen to be related to Jabez, you would understand. The others wouldn't. And you read all of the great authorities on Old Testament archaeology and history, and they're not able to connect. They cannot tell you exactly who Jabez's father was, who his mother was, but inasmuch as he is in chapter 4 that contains the sons of Judah, he is descended from Judah, one of Jacob's 12 sons, and that's about all we know about him. Just a little bit about his mother. We do not know her name. We do not know his father's name, but we know his name and a little bit about him. And because of this and what we know about him, he fits into the messages that I've been giving you on Lord's Day morning and Lord's Day evening. On Lord's Day morning, we have been looking into the things that the Lord Jesus wanted of men. And on Lord's Day evenings, we've been looking into the things that men wanted from God. And this is an account of one such man. There are others that wanted things from God, but I saved this one till the last because just as David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and he tells us that one thing, that he may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, but then he tells you why he wants to dwell there, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And so some things that are wanted are one, but they have ramifications. They have reasons for this one thing being wanted. And so in like manner, Jabez is such an individual. And the ones that we have considered, what they have desired of God, have been so different. Some of the things that were wanted seem unworthy of being provided the way that God did provide them. And that was in the case of Samson. Samson has been fighting a battle against the Philistines, and he is ready to die of thirst, and he cries unto God for water. And God miraculously provides the water. And I told you that the Lord Jesus wanted water, and he never received that water. And at the same time, Samson, who had been unfaithful to God and was shorn of the 7 locks of his head that signified his fellowship with God, he became weak as any other man because the Spirit of God left him. But his dying request was for vengeance. He wanted to kill the Philistines. And God miraculously imparted strength to that man so that he could pull down the pillars supporting this heathen temple. And he killed hundreds in his death. And so we find strange requests. But God can be prayed to for a variety of things. And some of them seem so insignificant. And yet a drink of water if a man is dying of thirst is so important. And it was to Samson. And God sees fit to perform a miracle to give it to him. And to give strength to destroy the Philistines? Why, how could God do such a thing? The important note is that God did do it, and that Samson had things to ask for, and God would listen to a Samson and answer his prayers. And so, if I read to you 1 week, 2, 3, 4, I hope that eventually it will encourage you and stir you up to realize that if Samson, this unworthy one, asked for things and got it, and then others such as David and Solomon, and now this man Jabez that I know so little about, asked things from God and got them, it may be that I can ask something from God and get it. Have you ever realized that? When you read in the Bible, do not say I'm separated by thousands of years from these individuals. I never feel that way. When I read about these characters in the Bible, I am so close to them that I look and say, they did it. I can do it. This is what God says. He said, Elijah was a man of like passions with us, and he prayed. God is saying, Elijah that lived so long ago with a man of like passions with you, he prayed, and God answered his prayer. He's exhorting us, encouraging us to pray. And in like manner, if week after week I've been telling you about men of various degrees of spirituality and nearness to God, varying requests that they ask of God, and yet God granted the strangest request, something as insignificant as a drink of water, and something so filled with vengeance as strength to destroy mankind by the hundreds, then, why, prayer is a mighty force that can lay hold on God, and we should realize that this is at our disposal as well. And Elijah prayed, and Samson prayed, and David prayed, and Solomon prayed, and Jabez prayed, and we can pray, and yet we do not pray. This is what is so sad. I'm thinking of these lepers this morning, and the Lord Jesus was coming near them, and they cried out to the Savior, and they asked the Lord for something, and they received it. And you read so often about this. Those that you would never think would get what they asked for, and yet God did give them what they asked for. And so I'm beginning to understand then, perhaps, in my need, I can pray to the same God, and what he did for Samson, and what he did for the lepers, and what he did for David and Jabez, why, he may do this for me. Will you think in those lines? Do not think that you are different from them if you've been saved by the grace of God, but you are in his care. And we are told to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so all of these things have been prayers, because David in the Psalms was praying. And Solomon in the Psalms, or in that account telling of the dream that God revealed to him, he was praying to God. And in like manner, Samson was as well. They are praying to God. And so, in the instance that we have here tonight, this man also is praying to God, and God is answering their prayers. Now, so that we'll have a little time to tell you about Jabez and the details of his life, I shan't give any more general introduction, but I will tell you specifically about this man, Jabez. And in the short confines of these two verses, you say, well, not much can be known about him, but ever so much can be known about him. Why, all you have to do is to tell me about a man who is praying to God for strength to kill men, and I know something about the nature of that man. And if you tell me about a man that wants to behold the beauty of the Lord, and he wants unbroken fellowship with the Lord, that prayer tells me ever so much about the Lord. The man and his relationship with the Lord, as it says in James 4, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And you can learn ever so much about men and women by the way they pray. And I can tell you ever so much about Jabez from these two verses that we've read. And the first thing that I can tell you is the meaning of his name. Does any brother know what Jabez means? Isn't a name that you would want, but his name means sadness. And so you would say, I would like for you to meet sadness. And he would put out his hand, and he would smile and say, well, sadness, how are you? Glad to meet you. And that was his name, sadness. What brother knows what the name Samson means? You've got the name down here named Samson. Do you know what your name means? It means sunshine. Now, I wouldn't mind being called sunshine. Here comes sunshine, because Samson lighted up the life of his parents until he grew up and became of age, and then instead of sunshine, he brought sadness into their lives. But the names in the Bible, most of the time, are sounds that we are not familiar with, but they were familiar to the Jews and to the Greeks. They had a meaning, and so when they said, this is Jabez, they're not saying this is Jabez, that's what it sounds to our ear, but they're saying, this is sorrowful, this is sadness. And let me tell you of others. Some of you may have the name Thomas. Who knows what the name Thomas means? It means twin. My name is John. Some of you have the name John. That means that you are favored of God. If your name is Timothy, it means that you honor God. And you remember about Isaac in the Bible? Isaac is the contrast to Jabez. And so Isaac means laughter, and Jabez means sorrow. And so if someone said, here is Samson, they would say, here is sunshine. Here is laughter. Here is sadness. Because they did not have, as we do today, so many prominent film stars and television stars, and we name our children. It's a disgrace when we name our children after them rather than some character in the Bible. To think that I could name my son Timothy, God-honoring, but instead I shall see some lewd person upon the screen and say, I'm naming my child after that person. If it's already been done, it's been done. But what you can learn is this, that the child does not have to, in his life, be in agreement with his name. Because as the Lord Jesus said to the seven churches of Asia, he said to one, you have a name that you live, but you are dead. And some have a name that denotes one state of emotion and condition, like Jabez, sadness, and yet the name of necessity does not have to depict what he is within his soul and the conditions that exist about him. But the names that so many of those with whom we are familiar in the Bible have were given by their parents because of something that occurred at the birth or some desire that they had in their heart for that child. And some of the names were given by one parent and then changed by another parent. And some names were given and then changed by God. Jacob to Israel. But Benoni to Benjamin. Because Benoni would have been similar to Jabez. Benoni means son of sorrow. Because Rachel died when she gave birth to Benjamin. But her husband said, I'm not going to call him son of sorrow. I'm going to call him Benjamin, son of my right hand. And so you look into their lives and find out that they are given this name for some reason. And it may well have been that one said, you have an uncle that is prominent, and he may leave us some money, and so we're going to name you after him. Various reasons. But some reasons are told us in the Bible, and I know why Isaac was given his name, and I know why Israel was given his name, and I know why Jabez was given his name. But Jabez would not have known it unless his mother had told him, and he would not understand as a little boy the undesirableness of such a name until he grew old enough to understand the meaning of the word sadness. But I look in older names, and so often you would find the name Mourning Mill. Mourning, like a mourning dove. Not mourning, but mourning. And you find other names like Temperance and Charity. This was years ago. I don't know if you have many names like that. But you got those names, and they would give Bible names. And later on, they would find out about mourning. Well, that means that I'm sad. The little girl was born, and maybe she had a sad look upon her eyes, and they would say, well, this is like a little mourning dove. We're going to call her Mourning Mills. And just as I told you that Jabez would find out why he received his name, I know why I received my name. My mother told me when I was a little boy, and I never forgot. And also, just as it tells about the conditions of the birth of Jabez, my mother also told me. And so I can tell you under what conditions I was born, where I was born, and exactly at what time I was born, because my mother told me. And I told you, I checked into genealogies. This is why it's so fascinating to me. And I was looking down at the Office of the Statistics, and I found my name there. And I was born, and so I'm 55. You won't have to do any arithmetic in your mind. I was born January the 3rd at 4 o'clock in the morning at Mary Elizabeth Hospital in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I would never have known those things, but my mother told me, and she told me why she gave me my name. But I won't take time to go into all of this, but I'm showing you the analogy. That in like manner, in my case, so with Jabez, he would say, how is it that I have the name Sorrowful, Sadness? Why did you ever name me that? And his mother would say, son, sit down, and I'll tell you.
And so some mothers do that. Perhaps some of you mothers cannot tell why they were given these names. Some of them, I know, are two families. One family decided to start all of their sons names with the letter A. And so it would be Andrew and Anderson and Alexander and Alvin and Archibald. All of those, every son, you see it, A-A, they just decided to do that. And others, well, they wanted to give their child of this name because this was your grandfather's name, or this was your mother's maiden name, and we want to pass it on in the family. And in like manner, Jabez would say, well, why did you call me Sadness? And his mother would say, for this reason, son. When I had you, I bore you with sorrow. And because of that sorrowful experience I had when you came into the world, I decided to commemorate that event, your birth, with the name Sadness, and that is the name that I gave you. And I looked it up in the Hebrew, and this word, sadness, let me show you a play upon the words. I told you that the word Jabez meant sadness or sorrowful, and it says in verse 9, I bear him with sorrow, and when Jabez prays, he says, that it be not to my sorrow, no less than three times you get this concept of sorrow. The man's name is sorrow. His mother bore him with sorrow, and when he prayed to God, he prayed that his life might not end in sorrow. And so three times you have this concept here. And his mother told him about it. And so, son, I bear you with sorrow, and therefore I gave you the name Jabez. And so Jabez, as a little boy, now understands why he's called Sadness or Sorrowful. And he understands what his mother went through when he was born. And I told you that now in the Hebrew, this word sorrowful in this chapter is the same word that is written concerning Eve after she sinned. It said, in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. And so Eve experienced sorrow when she brought forth children. And this reminds Jabez of the fall and of sin and its consequences. And what happened at the first has now continued up until his mother's time. And she has a son. And just as Eve bore her children with sorrow, so Jabez's mother bore him with sorrow. And so he is reminded of the fall. And then as he goes through life, he understands about the fall and its consequences, and he can never forget it. Perhaps if I had the name Isaac, laughter, I could forget about things and not realize the danger and seriousness of the fact that man has fallen and we are dust and we're going to return unto dust. But if I thought about my name and someone said, oh, your name is Sadness. Well, how did you happen to get that name? And then I went through the story again and again. I would be remembered of the fall in Genesis chapter 3. And then just as we break the bread and drink the cup, we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has ways of reminding us. And so he is reminded of all of these things. And I have no doubt that as this young man grew up, he would learn about the sadness that occasioned his birth. He would understand the sadness in his name, the sadness of the fall and the begetting of children by Eve. He would understand all of these things. And he would realize suddenly that he was not bound up in the bundle of life, but he was bound up in the bundle of death and sorrow, this veil of tears that we walk through when we're on earth. And he realized it, and he believed it, and he saw the inevitability of this prophecy in his name being fulfilled unless he did something about it. And what happens is this, that you and I hear about the fall, hear that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, that this present evil world in which we live is pulling us down. And what we do is to let our arms fall down and our knees grow weak, and we say, there is nothing I can do about it. I'm doomed. Failure. That's a fatalistic attitude. And that's the attitude of some Calvinists. But thank God, I read you 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. It's not the attitude of Jabez. He saw the reality, the truth of it all. He saw the inevitable truth of it all. Unless somebody intervened.